We'll get right into preaching then. And if you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the book of Philemon, I'll give you a minute there to find it. It's tucked away there, just one chapter, Philemon. We're going to read all 25 verses, so I'm going to just let you stay seated there. And then we'll get into the text and the subject of the message. Here in Philemon chapter 1, starting with verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ and join thee, that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he has wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou oughtest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm asking now, God, to anoint it. Lord, anoint me, Lord, to be able to preach this text. And may you just do a mighty work in our hearts tonight. These things I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this message tonight, now typically when I preach from this, I usually dwell on that one section there about Paul saying he'll repay anything. He says, put that on mine account, and I've preached on that numerous times in the past. And usually when you hear this book preached on, that's usually where the preacher goes to, that spot right there. I don't want to really dwell on that part of it tonight. What I want to look at is this from unprofitable to profitable heart. That, to me, just stands out so much. And there are so many topics you could grab out of this one tiny little book here. It's the third shortest book in the entire Bible. Only one chapter, 25 verses, we just read them, 445 words in the King James Bible. And so it's very tiny, and it's probably the least preached book of the Bible, unless it's one of the minor prophets, maybe could be a lesser preached book. But in the New Testament, it's certainly one of the less preached on. And if you aren't careful, you'll kind of dismiss it. You'll overlook it. As many pages we're rattling when you're trying to find it, I see it's hard to get to anyway. And so sometimes we'll overlook it or not even think about it. And some people treat it as kind of a filler piece of scripture or something. There's nothing a filler in it. Everything in the Word of God is inspired. It's for our own benefit and use. And there's so much truth in this one tiny little book. The human penman, of course, he announced himself at the beginning of the letter, and he said that he was it was Paul. He said, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He often referred to himself as that. You see, Paul had already realized that once he trusted Jesus Christ, when the Lord saved him, he was no longer a free man. He was a servant to the Lord Jesus. And that is where he wanted to be. That's all he wanted to be. He wanted to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, a servant of the Lord Jesus. He wanted to preach the Lord Jesus. He wanted to know anything else about you except about the Lord Jesus. That's all he wanted to talk about was Jesus. and him and him crucified. That's all he wanted to talk about. And so here he's being inspired by God to pen down these words. And it's a letter. We call it a book, but it's a letter. It's in our canon of Scripture as a book. But it bears the name of a man named Philemon. He is the intended receiver of the letter that Paul is sending. Now, his name, Philemon's name, actually means one who kisses or one who is friendly. And so this man is a friendly man. Despite his name being friendly, he is a really godly man. We see from reading our text there, Paul had exhorted him so many times there and was telling about all the wonderful things he does. He has a church in his own home. He lets them come in and preach and teach Scripture. And his faith is, it shows outward, and many people notice it and they see it, and they know that, they think of him by that way. It said there that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So all these good qualities that's in this man, Philemon, Paul is pointing out, and, he's not buttering him up. He's simply, this is Paul writing to him as a brother in Christ, as someone that dearly loved this man because he was a servant of Christ. Now, obviously, he's a Christian. He's well off. He has servants at his beck and call. He has this church in his house, and Archippus is named there. And so we know he's from Colossae, so he lived there in Colossae. And Paul is writing this letter from a prison in Rome. He's in Rome. He's counting down his final days, actually, of life and ministry. And he makes mention of being a prisoner of Jesus Christ and also in his being in his bonds. And so there's many different applications you could take away from this. And like I said, usually we'll dwell on that subject there about putting that on my account. And that's certainly a very important part of this text and a central focus of it. And where Paul's simply he's a type of Christ in this book. If you look at it, Paul is being a type of Christ in the way that he behaves, in his actions, in his stepping in and for someone that couldn't do it for themselves. And he's an intercessor here. And so it's very important. But I want us to look specifically starting with verse 10 of our text. So Paul spent the first 9 verses there greeting Philemon and exhorting him, telling him all these wonderful things about him. And then in verse 10, he brings up the reason for the letter. Look at it. He said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So first of all, we know that Paul addresses faithful men as sons. That's what he addresses Timothy as, and Titus, and Philemon. He addresses all these as his sons. It's not his flesh and blood sons. It's his sons in the faith. And Paul always had men that came along. He was always bringing men along with him and teaching them and helping them along in the ministry. And I love that about Paul. And I always wish that I'd always had a Paul in my life. I did for a point, and then he died from cancer. And since then, I've not had that Paul in my life. But he called here Onesimus his son. He said, I beseech you there for my son, Onesimus. And so, for whatever reason, Onesimus is there with Paul in Rome. Now, Paul's in prison. I don't believe Onesimus is a prisoner. He's there as a visitor. You see, Paul was allowed to have prisoners in prison, visitors in prison. And so he would have people that come in, and he would be able to teach and preach. And quite frankly, Paul loved that. He knew that he could do a lot of good as he was enslaved and in prison. He was able to preach to guards and soldiers and visitors and everybody. And so this man has fled there to Rome, obviously. He left his home there at Philemon, where his master, Philemon, lived. And he goes to Rome. And it's believed that he probably stole something from him or embezzled something from him. He owes his master something, obviously, or Paul would not have mentioned it. And so he is on the outs with his owner, his master, Philemon. And so Onesimus is there with Paul in prison, and Paul is preaching, and he's already familiar with Paul, as Paul would come to the house of Philemon, and he would have heard him preaching there with the other men. But he comes and finds Paul in this prison in Rome. And under Paul's preaching in this prison, Onesimus gets saved. That's why in verse 10 he said, whom I have begotten in my bonds. In other words, I have preached to him the gospel while I'm in my bonds, and he has believed the gospel, and now he is a brother in Christ. He's my son in the faith. And so Onesimus has gotten saved under Paul's preaching there in that prison. And so Paul, he could do one of two things. He could allow him to stay with him and he would be much use to Paul. He would have been a great helper of Paul. He could have went and did things for him. He could have been there as a fellow laborer in Christ. And he even mentions that to Philemon there. He said, I could keep him here with me, but I'm sending back to you. And so he sends him back. He's going to send him back to his master. But he don't want to send him back in the way that he came from. He's going to send him back a different man. Look at verse 11. This is where we want to take the thrust of our thought on. He said in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Coincidentally, the name Onesimus actually means profitable. Even though he was being unprofitable to his master, he'd done wrong. He'd left him. He took something of his and fled. And so I'm sure this was causing problems for him and for Philemon. But Paul is telling him here, he said, listen, in time past, he was unprofitable. He was worthless. He was useless. He's no good for nothing. Used to be. But now he's not like that. Now he's not unprofitable. Now he is profitable. Not only to you, but to me as well. And for the cause of Christ. You see, now that he's been saved, he's become a new creature in Christ. He's totally different now. And so his thoughts are not on taking anything from anybody. It's to give to people. And it's to give the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul realizes that he is a fellow helper, and he knows that he can help his master, but he wants to send him there to him, Philemon, all back to where he came from. And so no doubt Philemon had entrusted this man as one of his slaves. I don't know how long he'd been with him, but he obviously had entrusted him enough with whatever it was that he took. Now the relationship has been severed here. And so he didn't stay around to face whatever was coming to him from what he did, and so he ran. And so during his stay there, he meets Paul in the prison and gets saved and becomes a profitable man. Now I want you to keep that thought in the back of your head as we continue here. He went from being unprofitable to being profitable. From being worthless to being very valuable. From being a nothing to being a something. And so I want you to remember that in your head as we continue through this text. Look at verse 12. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. There it is. Paul makes this plea for Onesimus here by explaining how important he is. This is an important man now. Where he used to be unprofitable and you couldn't use him, now he now can be used for good. And listen, I could keep him for myself because he would be a great help to me. Instead, he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel, he says. But I'm sending him to you, and therefore I want you to receive him. And he says, that is mine own bowels. That word bowels there is the seat of the heart. It's the seat of the person. That's what the Bible speaks of when it mentions bowels. It's not the way we think of it. It's the heart deep down in the man. And this Paul said, I want you to receive him. That is mine own bowels. From my heart, I want you to receive him back. And so he could keep him there, but he's going to send him back. And let's keep looking there. Verse 14. It says, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. So Paul continues and even says that he doesn't want Philemon to just accept him because Paul asked him to. Listen, don't do it just because I'm asking you to. I want you to do it because you want to do it. Have you ever done something for somebody just because they wanted you to and you didn't really want to do it, but you did it anyway because you had respect for them or because they asked you and so you said, well, okay, I'll do that. And we've all done that. Paul's saying, listen, I don't want you to do that. Paul had every right as the elder man here of the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of his stature and as of his abilities. He could have told Philemon, you're taking him back and you're taking him back under the way that I say so. He could have done that. But he didn't want to do that. What he said was, listen, Philemon, I want you to take him back, but I don't want you to do it just because I'm asking you to. I want you to willingly take him back. I want you to want him.
And so he's going to build the case here for Onesimus, the why Philemon would want him back. And so he continues on telling that. If nothing else, Paul could, or he could have done it out of respect for Paul. Certainly. Can you imagine if Paul wrote you a letter and said, listen, I want you to take this guy and take him into your care and treat him just like you would me? Sure thing, Paul. I'd do that. I'd do that in a heartbeat. And Paul says, no, I want you to want him. It's very important that you want him in your home. So as many good things that Paul said about Philemon in verses, the first nine verses, certainly he probably would have felt compelled out of respect to take this man. But Paul says, no, not that way. And this, by the way, this is an illustration of how a Christian should behave. And when Paul is talking about all the qualities of Philemon and how wonderful they were and the faith that he had and all the things he did in his home, that is a model description of a true Christian that we ought to be aware of. And so I just threw that in for free. Look at verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant. A brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now Paul makes an even bolder request. Listen, I want you to want him back. Don't do it because I'm asking you to. But listen, not only do I want you to want him back, but I want you to want him back as a family member. I don't want you to take him back as a slave anymore. I don't want him to be your slave. I want him to be a rightful heir to your home. I want him to be just like one of your family members. This is what he's asking here. He says, above a servant, a brother, beloved. Now, he's going to be a brother in Christ, certainly. But see, if he receives him back as above a servant and brings him into his home, that means he has rightful heir to whatever Philemon has. And Paul says, that's how I want you to take him in. No longer as a servant, but a brother, one with all the rights of a family member. That means a full heir. Not only as a family member in flesh, but also as a brother in Christ. And so he wants to see him as equal, just like he sees Paul. He don't want to see him as above him or below him, but as an equal man, one that he loves and will take into his home. Look at verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Now, how could Philemon resist that? Paul's just coming out and saying, listen, if you think of me like I think you think of me, I want you to think the same way about Onesimus. And I want you to treat him like you would treat me, just like you would me. And if you count me as a partner, receive him as myself. In other words, make him a partner as well. Verse 18. If he has wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. And now, that's the most famous part of the book of Philemon there. If he had wronged thee or oweth thee, I'll put that on mine account. And this is a clear illustration of Paul being a substitute here of the sacrifice. The same the Lord Jesus was a substitute as a sacrifice for us. One who used to be useless, that used to be unprofitable. But Christ, when he became our sacrifice, suddenly we became profitable, but only because he made the sacrifice for us. He stood in between us and God, and he said, now this person that used to be unprofitable to you, God, he is now profitable because he's been saved. My blood has been applied to his heart. He's been forgiven, Father, and now he is worth much. He's profitable unto you. And that's what Paul's done to this man. Because he's taught him the gospel, preached to him the gospel, and Onesimus has received the gospel and by faith trusted the Lord Jesus. Now he's become a rightful heir and also a brother in Christ, but he has become very profitable. And so it's an illustration there, the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus for the sinner. And listen, the truth is each one of us, if you're saved tonight, before you were saved, you were an Onesimus. You were unprofitable. You were not worth saving. I was not worth saving. I was once an Onesimus. Friends, I can stand to hear it right now and tell you, I used to be unprofitable. I could not be used. I was worthless. I was useless. I was nothing but a low-down, rotten sinner, bound for hell, until I was saved. And when I became saved, I became something profitable for the Lord. That the Lord had somebody He could use in His service. Now, I'm no longer a cast out. I'm no longer a slave to sin. But now I'm a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm profitable. And you're the same way. But the Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. And listen to this. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Did you see that? He used that phrase again. He's unprofitable. Before you were saved, you were unprofitable. You were unworthy. You were worthless. You used to be that way. In fact, we are all just servants of sin. Jesus said so in John 8:34, verily, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Listen, when we got saved, we no longer have to be a servant to sin. We're no longer in sin's bondage. We sing that song all the time, He set me free. He set me free. No longer do I have these bonds on me. I've loosened the shackles. Sister Shirley sings that song, Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. Friends, they are. When we get saved, those chains have been lifted from us. We're no longer a servant to sin. The Bible also says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means before you got saved, you could not approach God. It was not possible for it because you were unprofitable. You were an Onesimus. You were nothing but a thieving, sinning, unprofitable slave. You had no claims to the throne of God. No claims to Jesus. You had no rights. You were not an heir. You were not a brother. You were not even a child of God. These people going around saying we're all children of God. No, you're not. Until you get saved, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. And so we need to remember that. We had no right to, as an heir, to the throne. We had no right until Jesus came. Until Jesus saved us. And so not only were we a slave to sin, but in the time that we were not saved, we were actually robbing God of His glory and of His sacrifice of sin by not trusting Him. And so we rob God of His sacrifice and glory when we don't trust Him as Savior. By all rights, Onesimus should have been shackled up. He should have been transported back to his master. Whatever they would have done to a slave in that day, I don't know if he would have gotten beaten or whatever had happened to him. That should have happened to him. That should have happened. That should have happened to us. Because of our sinful state, our sinful condition, we should be in hell tonight with our backs broke. That's where we ought to be. But praise God for His grace and His mercy. If we didn't have that, friends, we would all be suffering in hell for eternity. And that's just the truth tonight. There's not a person on this earth that deserves anything better than what should have been coming to Onesimus. Not a person. But the day that we realized that we were lost, I don't know what year it was for everyone in here. I know for me, 1972. And in that day, in 1972, I became profitable. I no longer have to serve sin or be a slave to it. And now I'm an heir to the throne. I can be taken in as a brother, as a son, as a child of God. Galatians 4:3-7 says this, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That is so beautiful to think what God has done for us. I like that old song, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. Oh, I love that song. Let's look at again at John chapter 8. I mentioned it earlier, John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus, He's speaking there to the group of people, and He answered unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And just like Paul said to Philemon, put that on mine account. Receive him as you would me. Take him in as above a servant. Take him in as a brother. Take him in as a rightful heir. Take him in wanting to take him willingly, because he's no longer that unprofitable servant that you once had. No, Onesimus now is very profitable. And when you look at him, I want you to look at him like he's your brother. Your brother in Christ. Look at him as you would me. You claim that you love me. You respect me. I want you to look at him the same way. I want you to know when God looks at us, you know what he sees? He sees the Lord Jesus. And so when he looks at us, he looks at us as a son. He looks at us as a rightful heir to the throne. That's how God sees us. He doesn't see us as a filthy sinner anymore, as an unprofitable servant, but now as a fellow heir, an heir with Christ. Listen, until you break the bondage of sin and become a child of King, you are unprofitable. Once you're saved, and only when you're saved, you become a profitable person under the Lord. I'm going to ask them to come get the invitation song tonight. I will give an invitation, whatever your need may be tonight, whether it be for salvation, backslidden condition, need help from the Lord from whatever you may be going through. You come to this altar. The altar is open for you tonight. And as they start playing, I want to pray together. Let's stand. You come forward if you need help. Lord, I thank you, God, for the message tonight. Lord, I thank you for the truth that's in our Bibles, Lord. God, for that glorious thought that, Lord, we don't have to go to hell. We don't have to be slaves to sin. Lord, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, we become heirs of God. Lord, we become profitable unto you. I'm asking, God, if there's one in this building tonight that's struggling, Lord, whatever it may be from, God, that you'll just convict them with the Holy Spirit. God, may the Holy Spirit just convict their heart, show them the need that they need to get things right. Lord, if they just need to fall on your strong shoulder tonight, in your strong arms, and you hold them up, God, through whatever trial they may be having, praying for that tonight. Help us in here, Lord. These things I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need help tonight, you